Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
It's Daner and Jay.
Our presenting sponsor for today's episode of Hear That Podcast Growlin' is Visa, a network working for everyone. All right, welcome to the latest edition of Hear That Podcast Growlin'. Paul Leader Jr., Jay Morrison of The Athletic are here with you for the walkout of the Bengals winning 24-21. McPherson at the gun.
Again
on Thursday Night Football against the Jaguars on a wild night. Jay, I'm not going to lie. I had a lead written at halftime. I showed it to you. I said, this is why the Bengals are a laughing stock. You know, they built for this moment. They had the crowd. They had the momentum from the game against Pittsburgh. They had the Ring of Honor night. They had really aligned all of themselves for this being a real night to kind of take back the organization and take the city by storm a little bit. And they lay the ugliest, hairiest egg you've seen in the first half up until the very end with 1 inch until the Jaguars were about to go up 21-0. And everything changed from that point forward. And they end up being a Joe Burrow on national TV coming out party.
Yeah, we've seen that movie before, and it was good Bengals teams. Lay an egg early in prime time against the Browns on a Thursday night game, end up losing the Andy Dalton 2.0 game. They're 8-0 in 2015. Andy Dalton's looking like a MVP. They're running the table. They come to a Thursday night game and lose 10-6 to Houston. They got off to bad starts, never overcame it. They overcame it tonight, and it was there was a lot of reasons. But the main reason was Joe Burrow.
Number nine. I mean, he's the difference. And I'm kind of like, you know, this is first of all, this is a wild game and a wilder post game of interviews. The bottom line is you end up with no panic by this team at all. And they come out and they just instantly just go down and score on every single possession of the second half. And, you know, it took them a $1.48 to put the first one up with a deep ball to Jamar Chase. And Burrow's just kind of like got this look of, yeah, here we go. I got it. And everybody believes in that. Everybody just believes in it. And there's a real something to that. We talk all the time because the coaches talk all the time about chemistry and about what that means and how that manifests itself on the field. And it's stuff like this. And you get a sense that it's just the belief that number nine is going to find a way to do it because he keeps finding a way to do it in the biggest moments. And, you know, that's how you end up winning games like this, that where you look dead in the water in the first half.
I mean, that pass to Chase to start the second half was huge. That just got everybody going. I mean, it was still a great ceremony at halftime. But there was just that hint of disappointment about how bad the team had played. Everybody's waiting for something to happen, and that was there. And it was like they scored so fast, I was still eating my Gold Star chili in the press dining room because I wanted to watch the halftime show. Normally, we race back there, get the food. I wanted to watch the Ring of Honor ceremony. So I watched that four-play drive in the press dining room. Didn't even see it live. That's how fast they scored. That's how fast they flipped this entire game. I mean, down 14-0. I tweeted it out during the game. They were 1-30 in their last 31 games when they trailed by 14 at any point. They're 2-30 now. It's hard to come back from 14 points in the NFL, no matter what point you're down 14, no matter who you're playing. It's a tough hill to climb, and they did it.
This is the team that couldn't win one-score games.
Yeah.
This is the team that could never win in primetime. This is the team – there were so many knocks on them. Couldn't win on the road. Mm-hmm. And now they've won on the road. They won at home at primetime. They came back from behind. They're winning one score games. They're winning the close games. And Joe Burrow's making those plays. I wrote this week, you know, Jay, I don't like to pat myself on the back.
No, no.
But this was what I was talking about. And Burrow talked about it after the game. He feels so comfortable in his knee and himself and what everyone is doing now and what the offensive line has shown themselves to be able to do and the way the defenses weren't going to be as intense to go against Ward, that it was time to take the restraints off of Joe Burrow. I think this game dictated that, maybe more than they wanted to. But what do you get? 25 of 32 for 348, two touchdowns and no interceptions, and the game-winning drive at the end. I mean, that is as efficient, as good of a quarterback game as you will see. Here's what gets me. First of all, C.J. Uzomah comes in the post-game press conference in some sort of Grateful Dead green suit with the green shoes, and he's posing, and it's just it was the C.J. Uzomah game. He ends up with 5 for 95 and two touchdowns, including an off-script score, which is so much of what they've been really trying to get better at with Burrow. It was supposed to be a better part of his game. So that's the big thing. Like, oh, you unleash Burrow, you start to get that going. And then all of a sudden, you get 5 minutes left at your own 10. Here comes number 9. And everybody on that sideline, I think it was CJ, I can't remember who said it afterwards, said, well, we won. Yeah, we won.
Yeah.
Logan Wilson said, there's no surprise. There's no wondering. There's no watching. It's just, okay, well, he's going to go down there and do it. They run the most perfect 4-minute drill. Despite Mixon goes out, they've got all, you know, you had receivers out. Obviously, T's not playing. You've got all kinds of things happening. And Jacksonville shows up in a cover zero look. And just instinctually, Joe Burrow pulls a play out of the back of his head that they hadn't repped since camp. That is for a jailbreak screen. He said, I had to pick which side. I just went to the one that had more space, and there was C.J. Uzomah. He said, promise you, that play has never been meant to be run to C.J. Uzomah. You don't run jailbreak screens to tight ends. But that's who was there, so he knew. So he just looked at him. And C.J. says he looked at him, and he winked. And CJ did a double take looking at Boyd like, this guy is reckless. And just threw it, and CJ goes and busts it up the field for what sets up Evan McPherson's game-winning touchdown. Again, CJ Uzomah puts him in position, and Evan McPherson hits the game-winning field goal. That's some swaggy stuff right there. That's some swaggy stuff from number 9.
Well, I mean, if you remember the play that set up the game-winning kick by McPherson in the opener was a play that never goes to CJ, and it happens again. It's uncanny. And the way that happens, you know, if people don't know that they're out there, those guys line up. When they go five wide, CJ could be in the slot. He could be number 2. He could be number 3. He could be anywhere over there. He just happened to be in the spot where the ball needed to go. They see zero blitz. Joe audibles to it. They trust CJ, and I mean, career high in yards for him tonight, career high 2 touchdowns. Don't think at all that was the game plan to make this the CJ Uzomah game, but the fact that it was is just a testament again to Burrow having the ability to do what all great leaders do, make those around you better and find whatever needs to be done to get the job, to get the win.
All right, let's take a second and switch gears here and hear from a sponsor. When I wrote last year about midseason about the coach's favorite plays of his, it was always just how intellectual and cerebral he already was out there in plucking plays from his memory bank. And, you know, he's got this photographic memory, you know, according to everybody that talks to him, and in whatever the special way they judge that stuff at the Nashville studies that we wrote about too. But he's got that way about him. And he always is talking about how he loves having the whole playbook in his memory bank that he can go to at any moment's notice. And he knew that the Jacksonville defensive coordinator had cover zero tendencies, and when they show it, they're coming. That's a Baltimore thing. And so he had a few of those in the back of his mind. And he plucks this one with all the pressure of everything we talked about at the top of this podcast. Ring of Honor. Things were going sideways. You better beat Jacksonville. All the momentum of 2-2 sitting there going the other way from what happened in Pittsburgh. and all of that, and you're in this moment on national TV, and it's just, oh, I'm going to pluck something from way back there. I'm going to wink, and I'm going to throw it out there. That's – it's just special, and you feel the guys on this team understanding how special their quarterback is and what that – it's, you cannot put into words what that does for the confidence that everybody plays with because of it.
I'm going to give myself homework. Surprise, surprise. But I want to know, when was the last time they scored on four straight possessions, and – when was the last time they did it when they never had the lead? They never had the lead in this game until the clock said 0-0-0. Sometimes maybe they would score on four straight. There might have been a game where they just boat raced a team and scored on four straight. But when you got to have it, four straight scoring drives, three touchdowns, and then the game-winning field goal. That's – you said it. That's number nine. That's the faith everybody has in him. Chips are down. Got to have it. He delivers.
And, you know, we need to talk about that goal line stand, though.
Yeah.
Because when it's 14 to nothing and they're on the inch line, I mean, that's a no-brainer. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
From Urban there. I don't have any problem with Jacksonville going for that. The numbers would say his real screw-up was not going for it at midfield in the fourth quarter. He said he gave up 5% win probability, according to the fourth down decision bot.
Yes.
But on the goal, I don't have any problem going for it on the goal line. That stop, they can say whatever they want. They don't win this game if that gets in.
No.
I really don't think so. I mean, you can hope, but, you know, you can't stick with the run a little bit and you get Mixon going like they did in the second half still. I mean, Mixon ends up with 4.2, 16 for 67. He gets dinged late. We don't really know yet. Zach Taylor said, thinks it's a minor ankle thing, but we never really know. We'll wait and see. But he got a little banged up there. And you just – what that means – It changes everything. It opens up when you do score so quickly in the second half. It feels like you were never even down just off the one score at the beginning of the second half.
It would have been a hell of a story because I remember this. It was 1981, the Super Bowl year. Ken Anderson, who went into the Ring of Honor tonight, terrible game in the opener against Seattle. They fall behind 21-0. They came back and won that game, and that kind of kick-started that ride to the Super Bowl that year. That's the position they would have had to have been in had Jacksonville scored there. It was the right decision to go for it. Maybe the mistake was to try the sneak because they were killing the Bengals on zone reads. And that might have been the better way to go, better chance to get in. But, yes, it was huge. And they all said – I asked CJ, you know, was there a part of you thought that would have been ballgame if you go down 21-0? No player's going to say, yeah, we didn't have a chance to come back. But they didn't have a chance to come back. The way things were going, if they're down 21-0, this is a totally different podcast right now.
There's no doubt. And now they're 3-1, and Evan McPherson of zero walk-off field goals in his career now has two in his first four games and makes up for missing his first kick. The first sign of weakness where he missed the 43-yarder in the first half, he finishes it off and makes up for it by hitting this one. But you're 3-1, and Aaron Rodgers will be here in 10 days. And you've got 2-0 and 3 teams in your sights. There's just a lot of good in front of them. There's so much good feeling happening. And a lot of these guys are new, but a lot of these guys are – there's just a little extra level of the excitement because they just haven't won. A lot of these guys mm-hmm. that are part of this team, that have been around, that are the captains and leaders of this team, have never won in this league before. They've never really been in this spot to feel like they have a real chance for the most part. And I think they feel that. And, you know, Zach Taylor talked about that, about how there's just no panic in these guys. There's just so much belief in them. And we talked about that in Pittsburgh, about how there's just so much belief in the locker room right now. And I think that showed itself in the way they were able to pop off the mat on Thursday night and find a way to get a win. On Thursday nights, man, just find a way.
Yeah.
It's hard. The defense, Logan Wilson sort of said, I felt as good as I could feel tonight. He basically didn't do anything all week trying to be ready after they had to play 80-plus snaps in Pittsburgh. And they were able to find a way against – Trevor Lawrence is a guy, man. It's going to be so much fun to watch him in this league. That laser he threw to Agnew for the toe drag on the sideline is one of the best throws I've seen in person ever. I mean, he's got real stuff going on, and didn't turn it over tonight. Mm-hmm. You know, that was the thing with Lawrence. He had 7 picks. He didn't make those mistakes, and it still wasn't enough because Burrow kind of got one last possession. The defense got one stop when they had to have it. So Bengals win, and they're feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of naysayers out there. Like I say, they haven't played anybody yet, which is true. But this is not who the Bengals are going to be. They're going to get better. They're getting better every game. You see it, and we talked about it so much. You win early. You get the success. You start building that swag that we saw in the postgame press conferences tonight. You really feel like something's building here. And it doesn't matter that they beat teams that weren't as good, that didn't have great offenses. They're 3-1. That is all that matters right now. And yeah, Green Bay coming in, if they do win that one, then that shuts all those people up. That is a real team. That is a real offense. And even if they don't, then you turn around and you've got 2 of the next 3 against teams that are currently winless. It really does feel like something's building. And it's so crazy because had this gone the other way, it would have been the complete opposite. It would have been same old Bengals, fire Zach. It's just amazing how one half of football can totally turn everything around.
All right, let's just take a quick break.
Zach is 5-2 in his last 7, dating back to last year. And, you know, the way they talk about it is like, because we feed into the narratives and, oh, last year's team and what about – it's so far from their mind, and they all kind of said it's just not something I can even fathom thinking about because this group is so different than anything we've had around here. And the players are different. The attitude is different. The quarterback is different. The belief in the quarterback is different, you know, and that's how – teams change their brand, right? Like when they hired Zach Taylor, I pointed to, you know, it only takes one change of things to make it be like the McVay effect, where the Rams were a laughingstock forever.
Yeah.
And the McVay came in and they're great. And they're in the Super Bowl and now they're number one in everybody's power rankings and all that, right? And I'm not saying Zach Taylor is Sean McVay. I'm saying any look around sports, the Milwaukee Bucks, right? Look around every single sport. This happens over and over again. Teams change the way they're viewed quickly. Our society changes things quickly. The Bengals on national TV and Joe Burrow changed the way a lot of people viewed them tonight quickly, even if it was the Jags. And they're 3-1, and they have changed the way they view themselves quickly. And all of that makes people think of 6-25-1 like it's, you know, a decade ago, even though it was just last year, really.
You should take a picture of your laptop with your lead that this is why they're a laughing stock and frame it and that'll be like the remember when. This is when it all changed.
It's like after the night of the meltdown at Paul Brown, where I was going to actually publish my Bengals finally win a playoff game story a couple of days later just to show people what it could have sounded like with the story that I had already written. The Bengals are not a laughing stock. In the first half they were. They appeared to be squandering their chances, and then it was – Joe Burrow shall lead them. Well, it is late, so we are going to hopefully get our stories done and get out of here and maybe get a little sleep tonight. But either way, I hope everybody enjoyed the game, and we will be back. Enjoy the weekend of football, and we'll be back early next week as we start preparing for Packers Week here for you. But for tonight, from Paul Brown Stadium, Bengals beat the Jaguars 24-21. Have a good one, everybody.